time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And thank you, and welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. And today we are continuing in our discussion on God's will. We're going to wrap that up today. You know, it's in tackling this kind of subject, I'm not saying that we're covering A to Z on the topic of God's will, anything like that. I mean, there are whole books written on the subject. And really, most of all, my desire is that you search the scriptures. I mean, more important than you listening to this podcast is you getting out your own Bible. When I say your own Bible, I mean your own Bible. And there are so few Christians today that even own a Bible, or much less carry a Bible with them to the place where the Bible's going to be taught. Now, let's think about the logic of that for a second. I mean, imagine if you were going to an engineering class or a law class or a medical school class, and you didn't bring any notes with you. You're just going to come and just let them tell you everything. Of course, you're going to forget most of it. You'll forget probably 90% of it before you leave the room, but no matter. You don't even bring anything with you. I find it appalling that Christians are dependent upon church services to tell them that there is a verse called 1 Corinthians 10:12 or Galatians 5:16 or whatever, that you don't know that in your own Bible. And secondly, yes, it's fine to put the verse up on the screen. That's fine so that we can kind of get a visual on it. But you should have your own Bible there. You should have a pen out or a pencil. You should be underlining and circling. And anyway, all that to say is you need to be interacting with the scripture. And that's what I highly encourage you to do when we finish these podcasts that we do together, is get your Bible out and check some of these scriptures out and see what they say so that you can do your own study and be even more convinced in your own mind. So we're not going to dive deep into the eternal decree of God and to answer the questions, you know, did God will there to be sin? Was it God's will that Satan, you know, even though God knew it was going to happen, therefore somehow it's in God's will. And, you know, we don't have time to break down the decretive will of God, the permissive will of God, and the sovereign will of God, and the specific will of God in terms of humanity. But let's talk about practically what it means for our lives, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. And we can perhaps do a theological study on that at a future time. But what I'd like to do right now is just simply give you some principles that you can use in your life to help you make decisions about whether or not you believe a certain decision is something that God would have you do. Because let's be honest, God doesn't write things in the sky. He really doesn't. He doesn't hide messages, you know, in the legs of pigeons, and he doesn't put, you know, he doesn't write something on a chalkboard in an abandoned schoolhouse for you. God doesn't do things like that. And so we have to depend upon our pursuit of God and what God has given us in our lives and the Holy Spirit inside of us, which we'll talk about. But when we face a decision, whether it's a large decision or a small decision, sometimes we ask ourselves, I wonder what the Lord would have me do. I mean, many, many mornings I wake up and I pray this prayer, Lord, what is your will for me today? Now, I know what a lot of that already is, because part of God's will is doing my job, doing my ministry, doing the little things. So I have to do things just like you have to do things that may seem mundane, but they do contribute to the overall purpose and direction of our lives. I mean, I have to clean my desk. I have to do research. I have to send emails. I have to make phone calls. I have to be a husband. I have to be, you know, a house owner. I have to do all those things. So sometimes it's God's will for me to cut the grass. Sometimes it's God's will for me to change the oil in my car, or to feed the dog, or to, you know, make sure that that there's plenty of wood for the fire. I mean, there are just little things like that. You know, those are God's will. We don't spiritualize those things and say that they're this grandiose kind of thing God wants us to do. But nevertheless, there are things that God wants us to do. So what I'm talking about is some of the more significant decisions. Like when you come to a stoplight, or let's just say a four-way stop in the road, and there are four cars in the intersection, don't pray about what God wants you to do. Let the person to your right go ahead of you, and then you go, okay? So don't spiritualize everything. Don't think that God is wanting to be intimately involved in the color of socks that you choose for the day, all right? You know, God has given you freedom. He's given you a brain. He's given you tastes. He's given you preferences. He's given you ways to figure out what is appropriate dress for, you know, appropriate situations. I mean, you don't wear a bathing suit to a wedding, you know, that kind of thing, unless there's a pool party afterwards. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't obsess over those kinds of things. I've known people who've done that. It's very unhealthy. So let me just give you very quickly just seven quick principles. These are not formulas that if you add them all up, you'll find God's will for your life. These are just principles that at one time or another, you're going to use different ones of these to speak more powerfully to your situation than others. Okay, here's the first one. The first one is simply the Bible. The Bible. And Psalm 119:105 is a verse that you know. And it simply says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What does that verse presuppose? It presupposes that we're walking in darkness and that we need a lamp. I have sitting behind me on my bookshelf an actual clay lamp modeled after the first century lamps. It's dated about third century itself. I paid a lot of money for it at a antiquity shop right across the street from the British Museum in London. And that light that comes from that lamp will let you know what's just ahead of you in the path. So when you go to God's word sometimes gives you specific direction concerning his will in a certain situation. And if it involves something to do with morality or something to do with family or something to do with relationships, many, many, many times there is specific direction. Sometimes God gives us more broader principles that we will use to apply to many different situations rather than a specific situation. So it'd be like, you know, the difference between you see a sign on the road that says 35 miles an hour. That's pretty specific, okay? Other times you'll see a sign that says, drive with caution or drive carefully when the roads are wet, that kind of thing. That's more general. So the first and really the most important place to check concerning God's will for your life in any given important situation or decision is the Bible. The second one is wise counsel, wise counsel. Now in Proverbs 15 and verse 22, the writer there, that would be Solomon, Proverbs 15:22 says this. He says, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." And I can tell you as a matter of fact in my own life, there have been numerous times when I've consulted many different people. And sometimes it's not, what do you think I should do in this situation? Tell me God's will. I'm not asking you that. But what I'm asking you is, give me your thoughts on this situation. And maybe it's a purchase that I'm going to make. You know, maybe, when I was younger, I asked my dad about it. When I got older and got married, I asked my wife about it. And we talk about purchases and we seek wise counsel. But going even beyond that is life direction. I had a guy call me not long ago, and he was considering a move back to his hometown. And he lived far, far away, and he had a very good job. And he said, "Jeff, if I move, I don't know if I'm going to have a great job again. But, you know, there's some family issues back home with my parents, and I just feel compelled to go back home." And I just said, "Listen, you're asking my opinion. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'd go be with my family if I were you." And sure enough, he did. And I'm sure he checked with many other people to get their ideas as well. But the reason why many counselors will help us is because not only do they help us see blind areas of our lives and blind potholes that we can't see in the road ahead, they may have walked down that road before. And they can give us direction as to what to do. Sometimes they also just know you very well, and they know you wouldn't thrive if you made this decision that took you down this path. And so I can tell you scores of times when I've called up a friend, when I've asked for advice. And so that's a very good principle. And I hope you have at least a handful, just a small group of people in your life that you feel like you can approach, in a situation like that. It's kind of like a football game. And it's fourth down and one, and you just don't know what to do. You just call timeout. You just usually call timeout. You go to the sidelines. You consult with the coaches. And that's all God is asking us to do, is to consult wise counselor. The third area is our parents. Now, I realize that a lot of people listening to this, their parents are gone. My parents are gone. They've gone on to heaven. So you don't have your parents to talk to anymore. But Ephesians 6, Proverbs 21:1 tells us, talks about the principle of authority. And when we appeal to the authority over us to help us see things that we need to see or to have wise counsel. As late as college, when I was in college, I was thinking about transferring from the University of South Carolina to the University of Arkansas. Obviously a big decision to make, but even more so because it meant my dad would be paying out-of-state tuition, which was a big deal. And we were not a wealthy family by any means. So I called my dad. I was in Hawaii at the time on a missionary project. I'll tell you more about that another time. And I was with my wife-to-be one day. And I called him on the phone, long distance call. It's called long distance back then. Can you imagine that? And rates applied. And so it was a very expensive call, so I kept it short. But I just simply said, Dad, I'm wanting to transfer schools so I could be closer to Beverly. And that's what I want to do. But I'll tell you what, whatever you say, I will do. If you say, Jeff, we can't do it, I'll just go back to the University of South Carolina. We'll just continue a long distance relationship. But if you say I can go, then I'll go. And you know what? He was not a believer at the time, but I trusted that God would use my dad and his authority in my life to give me direction in that situation. Sure enough, he did. I talked to him a couple weeks later. He said, hey, don't worry about it. We'll work it out. I transferred, got married. The rest is history. So God uses people in our lives for that, and specifically our parents. Understood that may not apply to you at this time. Didn't apply to me anymore. Okay, number four. Number four is common sense. Common sense. I mentioned earlier that God gives us a brain, right? Aren't you glad God gave you a brain? And by the way, your brain is a muscle. It's something that God wants you to use and to exercise and to expand in terms of being able to learn more and to know more and to gain more and more wisdom as you walk throughout life. But sometimes God just gives us common sense to realize these things. In fact, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 25, Paul is talking about a situation, and he begins the verse by saying this. He just goes, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. It just seemed good to us. It made sense. It just simply made sense. And then later on, it said, he goes, but it seemed good to remain for Silas to remain there. You know, there are just times in our lives when that just makes sense. Yeah, it's just good sense. Yeah, you don't really need to spiritualize it. Sometimes you don't even need to pray about it per se. Just use your mind and let God guide you that way. Some decisions you can make with common sense. Now, granted, some people don't have any common sense. Worse, most Christians don't have any discernment. So that is why I wouldn't say that this is one thing you want to lean on all the time. Unless you are particularly blessed with common sense, you want to lean on the scripture, you want to lean on wise counsel, some of these other things as well, okay? Number five is circumstances. Now realize this is sometimes the least thing that you want to depend upon to give you direction as you're seeking God's will is circumstances. But sometimes God uses circumstances. The problem is that we can't always know if those circumstances are from God or if they're from somewhere else. So you just want to make sure that you're incorporating some of the other things that we're going to talk about here as you look at circumstances. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, and I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I've planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far. So Paul's circumstances prevented him from being able to go and see the Romans when he wanted to. And you would think, well, my gosh, you're the Apostle Paul. You can go see anybody anytime you want to. And won't God just make a way for you magically because you're the Apostle Paul? Apparently not. Paul had this longing, it says, to be with them, and yet he was prevented from doing so. So circumstances did that. One more verse on that is 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 8 and 9, he says, but I shall remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door of effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So when we talk about this principle of the open door kind of thing, sometimes there's an open door. It doesn't mean God has opened it. Sometimes there's an open door. It means God has opened it. Sometimes there's a closed door. It means you need to go head first through it for the will of God and the glory of God. And sometimes there's a closed door because God closed the door. You say, Jeff, how do I discern between those two things? It's because you need to be well-rounded in these other areas of spirituality so that you don't just look at circumstances and go, well, you know, because look, I've got opportunity to do a lot of things in my life I've said no to. And I've done a lot of things that I had opportunities to do that I wish I hadn't done. Not necessarily bad things. It's just things I pursued that end up being a waste of time, you know? So just because there's an open door doesn't mean it, but sometimes God does use circumstances for that. So ask him to make a way for you as you're praying through something. And sometimes God will confirm that with positive circumstances. Another one is the Holy Spirit and prayer. That's number six. You know, Romans 8:14 is one of my favorite verses here. And it simply says this. It says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons he's there is to guide you, is to lead you in your life. And he wants to do that. In fact, James 1:3 says, "If any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God and he'll give it to us." He'll give it to us. Psalm 32:8, David prayed, "God, guide me with your hand upon me." So God does give us guidance through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's something you can't put your finger on. You just know you're supposed to do it or not do it. It's either an intuitive yes or no from the Spirit. And I realize that that's mystical. I understand that. Don't get freaked out on that. I realize that's mystical. But, you know, there is a subjective element to the Christian life. You know, when you're trying to do something for God or wanting to go somewhere, do something for God, and you just don't have a specific scripture, then you have to rely on the Holy Spirit and prayer. And part of prayer is asking God to give you wisdom. The other part of prayer is just making sure that our hearts are fully yielded to him so that we can hear what he wants us to go do. So I don't want to just, you know, skim over this point about the Holy Spirit and prayer. We spent a whole time talking just about that. But learning to know God and walk with him, part of that is learning a daily dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can do that is by allowing the words that the Holy Spirit has inspired for the church for all time to be in your head and heart. And that goes back to the scripture. That's why I began with the Bible. So much that you will accumulate just from having the Bible in you. You only need to look up a verse. It'll just be in your head. You only need to pray about something because God already put the scripture in your head of what you're supposed to do. Number seven is desire. Desire. And I want to share two verses with you. One is Psalm 37:4. You probably heard this verse before, but Psalm 37:4 simply says this. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it." So, Jeff, what does that mean? Does that mean that's some sort of magical little thing that I can, you know, call on God and just delight myself in him, and he'll give me whatever I want? No, it means that as we delight ourselves in God, he begins to change the desires of our heart, and we can begin to pursue the things that he has put in our heart to do. You know, John Piper, I believe, was famous for summarizing simplifying this principle when he just said, it kind of boils down to this: love God and do as you please. Love God and do as you please. Now, obviously, that's not a blanket statement, but generally speaking, that works. If you're really pursuing God, loving him, you can pretty much do as you please and know that you're achieving God's will. Here's another verse in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "And I rose in the night and a few men with me, and I did not tell anyone," now watch this, what he says, "what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem." Wow. What my God was putting in my mind to do for Jerusalem. Now, how did Nehemiah have God's thoughts in his mind? You know why? Because he delighted himself in the Lord, because he trusted in the Lord's word, because he walked with the Spirit of the Lord. That's why. So many times, people have asked me this question. My wife has asked me this question. When I've had a big decision, she'll just look at me and say, "What do you want to do? What do you really want to do? If you could do anything in this situation, what would you do?" And sometimes I've said, "You know what? I really don't want to do it." She said, "Well, then you shouldn't do it. Do what you want to do in the Lord, okay? And it's not about pleasing yourself or following yourself or trusting yourself. We've already covered that. We trust in the Lord, not ourselves. But it is about following the desires that God puts in our hearts. And sometimes it doesn't come in a moment. Sometimes it doesn't come in a week. Sometimes you do. You think about it. You seek the Holy Spirit. You seek the Word. You seek wise counsel. You look at common sense. You look at circumstances. You look at Holy Spirit and the prayer and all these things, sometimes for months and months before you get an answer. But that's, and these things are not, again, it's not a formula that you put together, because sometimes one of these things more than the others is going to make sense and make clear as to what God's will is for your life. The main thing is that you are seeking God. And my friend, if you are seeking God in your life, I guarantee you, He will make His will clear to you. And then what do? You proceed by faith. Proceed by faith and trust Him. Hey, I've got a great episode for you next time. I hope you can tune in. See you then. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.